Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. On this feast day of St. Genesius, he was a 3rd century martyr, and legend has it that during a stage performance before Emperor Diocletian in Rome, the actor portrayed a catechumen about to be baptized in a play satirizing the Christian sacrament. In the midst of the ceremony, he was converted to Christianity. When presented to the emperor, he declared his Christianity. Enraged, Diocletian had him tortured by the prefect of the Praetorium in an effort to force him to sacrifice to the pagan gods. When Genesius persisted in his faith, he was beheaded. Appropriately, he is the patron saint of actors. We have a great show for you today. We're going to talk with Sean Holt, the president and CEO of the St. Vincent Family Center. Matt Palmer talks to Kathy Houck in our conversation segment. And first up, Bishop Frederick Campbell has appointed Dr. Joseph Bretnacher as the new Episcopal Moderator of Catholic Education and Superintendent of Schools for the Diocese of Columbus, succeeding Lucia McQuaid, who is retiring after 45 years of service to the Columbus Diocesan Schools. Dr. Bretnacher has more than 20 years of administration experience in both public and Catholic schools. He has most recently served for 9 years as the principal and president of Central Catholic Junior and Senior High in Lafayette, Indiana. Dr. Bretnacher received his BA in Industrial Education, a Master of Science degree in Secondary Education, and a PhD in Leadership. Bill Messerly sat down with Dr. Bretnacher recently to talk about this new assignment.
Dr. Bretnacher, welcome to Ohio and welcome to the Diocese of Columbus.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Bretnacher, you moved from Indiana. Moving can be a challenge. How's the transition been so far to the Columbus, Ohio area?
Well, I'd like to kind of start out with one of my favorite quotes from Ann Mora Lindbergh, and that is, only in change, growth, and reform, paradoxically, can true security be found. And the reason I start out with that, it is all how you look at it. Pam, my wife, and I have 35 years. We've moved on several occasions. We moved to different cities, and we give up our struggles to God. And in doing so, the transition becomes much smoother for us.
And God prepares all of his leaders in his own way. Christ himself studied and worked as a carpenter and prayed for 30 years before his public ministry. Can you see, looking back, any experiences that have really helped you prepare for your new role as the Episcopal Moderator for Catholic Education and the Superintendent of Schools for the Diocese of Columbus?
I really think that all of the experiences that I've had throughout my life have prepared me for this situation here, this job right now. And I'll start off with my parents, who were devout Catholics. We attended Mass regularly. We participated in parish activities, and we also participated financially. We gave of our time, treasure, and our talent. Unfortunately, my mom and dad didn't have the opportunity to send me to the Catholic schools, but I was fortunate enough to have my son and daughter attend Catholic schools and survive me as being their principal. And hopefully they're better people for that. I've also been a teacher, a steel worker, an administrator in various jobs. I've spent 18 years as a Catholic educator in ministry to the church. I've also been working with bishops and boards of trustees and boards of directors and school boards and a lot of other types of committees. I've also have experience working on capital campaigns, capital projects, feasibility studies, marketing plans, etc. My 20 years as an administrator has allowed me 18 of those years to work with our campus ministers and work with our young people to visit religion classes and talk about worldviews. And, you know, I could go on and on, but for me, the important thing is that I say the Lord's Prayer every day, and the particular portion of the Lord's Prayer that I always concentrate on is Thy will be done. And I hope that I am answering God's call for me in this important educational ministry.
Well, we're blessed to have you here in the Columbus Diocese. Dr. Bretnacher, you have a doctorate degree in leadership. And you remarked in a recent Catholic Times feature that you have a personal mission to be a servant leader. What is a servant leader?
Well, I think Jesus Christ was the ultimate servant leader. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as ransom for many. And I strive to live up to his example, but I fail a lot. And I just pick myself up and, you know, kick myself and get ready to go again.
And that leadership, servant leadership, how would you describe how that flows over to your team members that you'll work alongside? Do you have expectations or a culture that you hope to show and to embody day in and day out?
Well, part of being a servant leader is that you at no time take yourself as being more important than somebody else. There is no task that is too small to do. If I have a need at school to unplug a sink, I would do that. If there's trash on the floor, I would do that. My job is to serve others, and I hope that by living my personal mission to be a servant leader, that others will follow that.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brent Nacker, the new Episcopal Moderator of Catholic Education for the Diocese of Columbus, for joining us on St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Let us all pray now for Dr. Brent Nacker and his team, that God provides them the strength and wisdom to lead us in a renewal of faith for adults, young adults, and our precious youth.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you, Dr. Brent Nacker, for joining us on the Trumpet today. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet at 7 minutes past the hour. Matt Palmer took some time with Kathy Halk to talk about servant leadership, growing up in faith, and ways to keep the faith focused every day.
Kathy, it's so nice to have you here on the station this morning with our listeners. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
I want our listeners to get to know you. You've become such a special friend to me, a great sister in Christ. Tell us a little bit about you right now, where you work, your husband, kids, grandkids. Give them a quick sketch of Kathy Halk.
Well, Kathy Halk has been at the Huntington for several years now, and married for almost 45 years this October to John. 5 grandchildren. Of course, that's the benefit of 2 children and a wonderful son-in-law. And they age from 10 to 5, and some people worry about an empty nest. And as soon as you hear about that first pregnancy, there's a whole new side to your life that is such a blessing.
So. It must be so exciting. Lisa and I are looking forward to that someday. We'll get there. But so you're very busy, obviously, with family life, but you're busy in the diocese. As I think of you, I think of a beautiful sister in Christ who's doing so many things that the Lord seems to have led you to do. Share with our listeners some of the things that you're most actively involved with right now in the diocese.
Matt, there's so many beautiful things happening in the diocese.
There are.
Discerning sometimes when you hear things, what you're going to be involved in and how to say yes. The Run the Race Club with Rachel Muha has been such an outreach to the west side of town. And that's one that my heart really prays and thinks about all the time. The St. Vincent Family Center on the southeast side of town, where very special children are being taken care of. And it's, as Sean Holt would tell you, it's making good kids better. And then St. Stephen's Community House, where it's cradle to seniors and helping the Linden area be stabilized and bringing the love of Christ to the people in Linden. And then the Catholic Foundation being involved there and knowing that not only can we serve the people in need today, but long-term, the funds and the people will be able to bring Christ to these people in our diocese. It's really important. So try to stay involved and connecting people to make sure that they are there to be served and bring the love of Christ to wherever we can.
So beautiful. Some of those have a common theme of sharing the love of Christ with those in the inner city, those that have perhaps are dealing with poverty and some of the great challenges associated with poverty. Have you been drawn in a certain way to those kinds of ministries over the years? Or I'm struck by the first few that you mentioned. They have that common theme.
Well, when prior to coming to Huntington, one of my last positions was in economic development. And so in 18 states that were all wonderful states, I was able to have the opportunity to see where the needs were. So if you think about cities, you don't think about the poorest of the poor. And in Columbus, Mother Teresa would say, there's Calcutta everywhere. And so when I stopped that position, I couldn't stop that work and knew that the Lord was leading me in that direction, because the first board that I was asked to serve on was St. Stephen's. The other ironic part about St. Stephen's is I grew up two blocks away from the facility where it's located now. It started on the south side, but it's on 17th Avenue. So I'm from Linden. Many times we'll refer to it as the L.A. area. And so if somebody says they're from L.A., you have to confirm whether that's Los Angeles or the Linden area. But it's such an area of need, and right now there's such a high crime, high birth mortality rate there that to have something like St. Stephen's there and bringing all of the resources it's bringing is just a joy to see, where you grew up as a child, went to St. Augustine's just up the street, that we're really trying to help that neighborhood. So the theme, I guess, would be knowing how much need there is.
Tell us about your faith formation as a child. You grew up as a cradle Catholic, it sounds like. Help mm-hmm. us understand, looking back, how was the Lord working in your life then to form you and shape you?
I was very blessed that I'm not sure how, but my parents sent me to St. Augustine's first and second grade, and then through seventh grade at St. James. So, and when I say how, I economically we never had that discussion, but now I look back and I know that that was something that they really probably had to make sacrifices for. And then I don't know, and I know now it's the Holy Spirit at the time that I look back, and if the family wasn't going to make it to Mass, I would walk to Mass. So it was very fortunate that I have had that. You know, loved having May altars with the lilacs in May and all of that. So the formation was very strong to have those first 7 years in parochial school and have a family that supported that.
Tell us about high school, college. How did your spiritual development and growth in the church progress or not progress in some of those critical years?
That's again, you look back and you say, okay, I guess that was typical. But as you grow, I'm not sure that until something would strike you that say, oh, I need to get to church, you would step away. And then my husband was not Catholic. So when I introduced him to my family, he was just a friend. And then as we decided to get married, that was going to be an issue. And then after we were married, probably 15 years later, he was a convert. And so that whole formation, I think, was what wasn't there, and the draw of the Eucharist and the draw of what faith brings to the strength of the family is critical. So.
You're such a busy person now with family and the commitments, the boards that you serve on. Share with our listeners how you try to pursue time with Christ. How does your prayer life look like? I'm just in awe of the things you're able to do each week, Kathy, and I'd love for our busy listeners like you to hear a little bit of how you struggle and accomplish prayer life and time with our Lord. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
I think there's two things that I'm so fortunate and blessed with. One, as I mentioned, John's faith, and he's such a strong partner with that. So our lives are surrounded by reminders of our faith. And we both are avid. Sometimes I think about, instead of ADD, I'm kind of the Catholic book person, that I have so many going at one time, but it's such... I believe the Holy Spirit leads you to those, and when you pick it up, it's what you need it for that day. So, you know, all of the people on St. Gabriel Radio, I probably have most of the books, but But surrounding yourselves with reminders, because I know as a human, I'm going to tend to not remember. And so having those reminders of our faith, and then making sure that when you're there, you're there, you know, prayerfully and spiritually, that when you're serving, it's with all of those things in mind. Not with me in mind, that's for sure, but with what our Lord wants us to do.
I know you're a St. Paul parishioner.
Mm-hmm.
Share with our listeners some of the exciting things going on in that large parish in our diocese.
We are, it's so large that we sometimes say it's not which Mass you're attending, it's what area of the Mass that you're sitting in, because that's your parish. But probably the things that between the school life, the outreach that they have, both in the within the parish as well as outside of the parish, and just very dynamic St. Vincent de Paul group, the group that gets together on Tuesday evenings to make bologna and cheese sandwiches. It's so wonderful for the children to know that they're doing something for the diocese. That, and then, again, our grandchildren that attend their activities. So very fortunate that we usually all, including some extended family, can make it to Mass together there, too. So it's a blessing.
Well, Kathy, I want to just thank you for taking the time today to come in and just share with our listeners a life that, as I see it, is so given over to the Lord and His church. We're grateful for the leadership roles that you play in our diocese. We're grateful for the servant leader role that you play, and you're a dear sister in Christ, and I'm just so glad that you could come today and spend some time chatting with us.
Matt, thank you.
Have a great day.
Bless you. Thank you.
Here are some upcoming events in the Central Ohio area. Catholic Layman's Retreat League will sponsor a retreat for men September 5th through the 7th at St. Teresa's Retreat Center, 5277 East Broad Street in Columbus. The theme for the retreat is The Pursuit of Spiritual Perfection, led by Father Patrick Toner. It's a silent retreat. For more information, you can contact Charles Kalkoff at 614-268-0175. On Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in the Walter Commons at St. Charles Prep School, 2010 East Broad Street in Columbus, the 9th Annual Cradling Christianity Dinner to raise funds for tuition assistance to Christian students in the Holy Land will take place. The speaker is Monsignor Frank Lane, Spiritual Director at Mount St. Mary's Seminary of the West and the Athenaeum of Ohio in Cincinnati. Mass will precede the event at 5:30 p.m. For more information, call 614-459-5676. Don't forget about the St. Michael Parish Festival this weekend. They're located at 5750 North High Street in Worthington, Friday from 7 until 11, Saturday and Sunday from 5 until 11 p.m. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. It's 18 minutes past the hour. St. Vincent Family Center provides behavioral health prevention, intervention, and treatment services to children and families in Columbus and throughout the state of Ohio. Their vision is to teach children and families to overcome life circumstances. St. Vincent Family Center began in 1875 at their present location on East Main Street. The organization was founded as an orphanage under the auspices of Bishop Sylvester Rosecrans of the Catholic Diocese of Columbus. The work of the Catholic Sisters to service the poor and orphaned of Central Ohio continued into the early 1970s, but expanded into the mental health field when the St. Vincent Orphanage merged with Columbus Children's Psychiatric Hospital. Their emphasis on providing residential treatment and day treatment continued into the 80s and 90s and was again expanded to include day treatment to St. Vincent Family Center in 2000 to acknowledge the mission of the agency and its founding. Today, St. Vincent Family Center remains in its original location in Columbus. Sean Holt, President and CEO, sat down with Carrie and shared the vision of the St. Vincent Family Center.
Joining us today on The Trumpet is Sean Holt, the president and CEO of the St. Vincent Family Center. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about the St. Vincent Family Center. You are a social service organization within the diocesan network and really doing some great work with these kids. Talk to us about the mission of the St. Vincent Family Center.
I think, sure. St. Vincent Family Center was founded in 1875. Mm. We are the largest diocesan social services network within a diocese here in Columbus. And our mission is simple. We make good kids better. Back in 1875, as you can imagine, opening up as an orphanage, and there was this notion in the community that maybe that's where the kids went, the unwanted kids. Mm-hmm. And I think as we morphed into the services we provide now, some behavioral challenges that kids have that go there, the notion quickly switched from unwanted kids to kids, that's where all the bad kids went. And so we really wanted to change that. And so we really came up with this mission that has become our everyday way of life. We believe that all kids are good. Some just need a little extra help sometimes.
Mm, that's a wonderful philosophy, too, especially with a lot of the needs that you are addressing with the mental health issues and different things. So what are some of the services that you do provide them?
We have so many services. Mostly, I would say our most highly populated programs are our partial hospitalization programs. Those are, we have a preschool and we have a school age. And so children who get kind of kicked out of school for many behavioral issues could come to us from the ages from about 3 to 13. And the goal for us is to quickly maintain, you know, kind of get those behaviors in order and send them back to their homeschooling as quickly as possible. And so that's the day treatment program. We also have a residential component where those kids live there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The sad case in that is those kids become wards of the counties. And in order for, in a lot of cases, in order for your child to receive treatment, you have to give up your parental rights. It's a very, very sad thing. And we have a 35-bed facility that's there. Recently, I've been at St. Vincent's for almost 4 years now. And when I first got there, I would go and I would see these wonderful kids in our residential program. And I would say, well, they look so normal. Why are they there still? And on a couple occasions, I got back. It was very frank that basically what they said was well, there was nowhere else for them to go. And so I wanted to quickly change that. And so fortunately, we were blessed to have the opportunity to start our own foster care agency. And so no more kids actually staying in our residential program just because simply they have nowhere else to go. So we have right now about 7 kids in our foster care program. We have 13 families, and we are taking referrals for foster parents out there who, for whatever reason, want to give back and support some of our children. We would love to talk to you about that so you can help our kids out.
As you've been experiencing some of the fruits of the services that you're offering on these kids, what are some of those benefits? Are you seeing them come back stronger? Are they healing? Are they being able to be productive members of society then?
Yes, and I think we have done a better job, or at least we've tried to do a better job of actually communicating our successes. We haven't always historically done that well, but we're getting better. You know, a lot of times we see kids and families. I think that's the important thing to note, too. We're St. Vincent Family Center. Mm-hmm. So not only do we treat the child, we treat the entire family. Mm-hmm. Gone are the days where you send your child to us and we treat or fix, quote unquote, the problem, mm-hmm. and then send them back into the same environment mm-hmm. That they came from. So it's nice to see a family and kids that come in. A lot of times the kids will look angry and they have some behavioral issues. And then, you know, not having a lot of communication issues. You know, the times vary on how the treatment goes, but it's nice to see a kid maybe 2 months later not only give you a hug, but say, you know, I'm going to miss you, and they do well in school, and you hear all these stories. So it is very rewarding. It's a great place to be.
And you have different medical staff on site also to work with the families and different care and services in that capacity?
We do. We have licensed social workers. We are very blessed to have a child psychiatrist mm-hmm. Working for us for a long time. He's well known within the community here mm-hmm. in Franklin County. And the kids like him. I think families like him. And I think he's been able to, with his help, we've been able to be very successful.
And you soon will be breaking ground for a new family center. Can you talk to us about that?
So excited about that. Mm-hmm. You know, the blessing is that we've been around since 1875. Mm-hmm. The curse to that is that we're out of space. And so when I came aboard, I quickly took a tour, and we have kids going to school in the basement and kids going to school in very cramped spaces. So fortunately, we were able to go out on a capital campaign with the goal of raising $5 million to add 18 more classrooms. So kids will not be going to school in the basement. And happy to report today, we have broken ground on that building. We are probably around 70, 75% complete with our fundraising efforts. We're in our community campaign right now. But it's a very, very exciting time for our kids. Mm-hmm. And I think our families will definitely like that.
That sounds wonderful. Looking forward a little bit, what do you see the vision for the St. Vincent Family Center, especially as an impacting service to the community?
Our vision is simple. You know, I talked about making good kids better. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to have the space there that we have the ability to never turn a family or a child away. Mm-hmm. Because of our current constraints with space, we've had to do that. So my vision would be to never be able, we provide services to everybody at any level, at any time. And so they would never have to wait for services.
So where can someone get more information on the St. Vincent Family Center?
Absolutely. Our phone number is simple. It's 614-252-0731. And if you want to get us on our website, it's www.svfc.org, stvincentfamilycenter.org.
Thank you so much, Sean, for joining us today and sharing all this important information and on the services and work that you're doing in the community.
Thank you for having me.
For more information, visit svfc.org. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Hope you learned a little something today. If you've got something crazy good going on in your parish or an event that you'd like to talk about or think we should focus on here at St. Gabriel's Trumpet, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the entire St. Gabriel's Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.